Let's move forth in our continuum. Take your document out. There are some excerpts in the back. Hopefully everybody has the entire document. If you don't, at least get an excerpt. Ushers will see that you have one. Everyone repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions of measures.
Scriptural comprehensions of measures.
The matrix. Let's go back to where we were last week. Bottom of page 11. And also, for just a moment, back to our scripture of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Ella Nickerson is our designated reader this morning. And also, I'm determined that we will get into Titus chapter 3, verse 9. But let's go back for a minute to where we were. There are some more nuggets we need to dig out. Last week, as we were dealing with the essence of, at the bottom of page 11, thus physical secular measures, that is the matrix, abide in a semblance to reality. Here, what we will explore this morning is why so many draw from a well that is empty. Why do we focus and seek to extract joy from whence there is no joy? To extract peace from where there is no peace. To extract stability from where there is no stability. The reason these things are not in the matrix is because, in essence, nothing is in the matrix. Manifestations are exactly what they are. They're expressions and depictions. Remember when we were going through the definitions of our glossary at the front of the book, and we focus on the matrix was all about visual representations.
Right.
Visual representations are indications in grids and are patterns of measurement strictly for testimonial documentation. You don't look in. You may look into the mirror and see something, but you don't look into the mirror to fix something, alter something, to change something. If I held up a plate of food in the mirror, I can see the food in the mirror, but I can't reach in the mirror to get it to eat it. This is what's happening in life. We are trying to extract what is not there.
Amen.
In that sixth verse of chapter 2, 1 Corinthians. Everybody got it, amen? Here, for the sake of time, we're just going to focus verse, and I'm determined to get to Titus this morning. There are some things that we need to deal with. But I need for ingressions to take that which we garnered from chapter 6 as ingressions into Titus. So we will go back and make sure that we have refreshed. You know, like you do on the computer, you hit the refresh button. Amen. You don't mean to turn away from what's there, just in case something has gone dead in communications. You hit the refresh button. Elder, read that from the King James and then from the Greek. And remember now, in verse 5, we had garnered that our faith not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We have a comparison analysis there. That is, we have the wisdom of God, juxtaposed with, compared with the power of God. There's a great variance there. In fact, they're opposites. This is how he moves into into verse 6. All right, Elder, read it.
2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
Sufficient to such a man is this punishment.
Amen. Let's get on. Let's get where we are. 1 Corinthians. Did I say second? All right, then. As the kids said, my bad. In that fifth verse, again, as we juxtapose the wisdom of men with the power of God, wisdom of men deals with the seeing. Power of God is about his saying. And that's the difference.
Never.
Between what is really, really wise. Alright. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. 1 Corinthians. Read.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect.
Uh-huh.
Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught.
All right, let's go to the Greek.
Sixth verse, Greek.
Mm-hmm.
But wisdom we speak among the perfect ones.
Okay, again, here Sophion say, Lalumin in tis. Telis is, which is word for word translated, but wisdom we speak in completions. In completions. When you're speaking about the wisdom of God, you're talking about that which is accomplished and complete. This is what the apostle is saying there. Everything in God is complete.
It is.
When you talk about the wisdom of men, you are into manifestations. Mm-hmm. When you talk about the wisdom and the power of God, you're talking about that which is in actualization. And we must understand the difference between the two. What is actualized is in God's decree. That which he spoke.
Yes.
In eternity.
Thank God. Yes.
And his speaking it is what brought it into existence.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason it exists, because God said it.
Yeah, it did.
Amen.
Thank God.
spirit. You don't have to add anything to it. What happens is we get this mixed up with manifestations and actualization, and we think that what we see is actualized in the essence of its visibility. Manifestations are strictly about testimony. It is documentation of testimony for the purpose of communicating what God decreed in His Word. And so we should never get actualization mixed up with manifestation. Because what happens there is that in manifestations, you are strictly dealing with processes. Where in actualization, you're dealing with purpose. And you're watching processes and looking for a purpose in that process, and there is no purpose in that process except testimony. The answers are in the essence of what God's purpose is. So as we look into the matrix, as we look into time and the frames and the space, and we see the occurrences, if you really want to know what's going on, it's about what it is for,
right.
Not what is it.
Right.
In the matrix, it is about what it is for. It was placed there for a reason.
Amen.
Whatever is going on in your life this morning was placed there for a reason.
Amen.
And what you see doesn't tell the whole story.
I hear you.
Because what you see,
glory,
is appropriated out in increments.
Amen.
It is sequence.
Amen.
It is in a series.
Amen.
When the essence of that thing is complete, your tomorrow is already it's there. No, your conscience hasn't caught up with it yet.
I hear you.
But it's in a frame. It's in a time frame, and your conscience is the only thing that is moving. Time isn't moving, and absolutely space isn't moving.
I hear you.
But our conscience is moving.
Amen. Amen.
Everything's about purpose.
Amen.
Glory.
All things are not by Him remotely. All things are in Him.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus.
All right, I'll finish that verse up because we are going to get to Titus today. Read. Yet wisdom.
Yet wisdom, not of this age, neither of the leaders of this age.
Neither of the leaders of this age. Listen, as a citizen, I'm not saying don't watch what's going on. I'm sure Paul participated as a Roman citizen in things that were going on. But he never wrote about it. He never wrote about any of those things. Now, we're saying they're not important. They're important in processes. But politics is they're not about God's purpose from the standpoint of mankind having his hand on the throttle or steering the wheel.
No.
not in this age. The difference between what is whatever. Whatever is complete.
It is.
Whatever it is, it is.
That's right.
And has been.
All right.
From eternity. And what we see is in virtuality, not reality.
Right.
Now they're going to come after us. For those that might be watching, take the word of God.
Glory to God.
And study it.
Amen.
That's it.
Study does not mean reading commentaries. Nothing wrong with the commentaries. I've got commentaries up in the office and many stored on my computer. That's not the extent of what study is. Agonize. You must exegete the scriptures.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Where do we start? Historically. You must divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants.
Amen.
If you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants, it's going to confuse you.
I hear you.
Yes.
Amen. Oh.
We're presently in the grace dispensation.
Grace.
And the grace dispensation. What is the covenant for the grace dispensation?
Grace.
The grace covenant. God is not dealing with us on the basis of his covenant with Moses.
No. No.
Nor is he dealing with us on the basis of what he did in bringing in a new covenant as is testified in Jeremiah 31. So we abide by what's in our gospel. We're talking about the mystery. Everybody say the mystery.
The mystery.
Those epistles written to the church by the Apostle Paul. It contains the volume of truth. He said that according to what he is conveyed in Ephesians chapter 3, they were hid from all generations before. God revealed them unto Paul.
Yes.
Oh,
this is what he speaks of when he says, my knowledge in Revelation. These are our directions.
Yes.
And our directives, our instructions.
That's right.
And yes, stay in your gospel. Because wherever you go in the Bible, and all the Bible is true, wherever you go in the Bible, you're stuck with what's there in that particular sector. If you go into the Old Testament, and you anywhere from Exodus going forward, you're in the law. You back up around the 12th chapter of Genesis, you in promise. And I know we're going to get a big fight here. If you're in the kingdom gospel, if you're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, anywhere outside of that volume of truth called the mystery in what we have nomenclature, the New Testament, inclusive of Paul, but there's a difference between the Grace Testament and the New Testament.
Amen.
When you're in the New Testament, you're confined to kingdom.
Kingdom.
The New Covenant. It's about the kingdom.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes.
Everybody say the Grace Covenant.
The Grace Covenant.
Then one that my pastor used to beat me over the top of my head with. Contextual. Contextualize.
Yes.
Context.
Yes. Yes.
See, if you go to the manuscripts, the original writings, there were no chapters and verses. And many times we go to, we said, let's start with, and of course they're continued because this morning it kept us on the track, didn't we? When I went off the track and I misspoke and I said 2 Corinthians, I meant 1 Corinthians, and then I said 2 and 6. So they are useful.
Yes.
But that's the extent of their usefulness. Chapter 2, verse 1 doesn't necessarily start a new conversation. Sometimes that should have been in chapter 1. And so you contextualize by going in and you come into focusing what the discussion or conversation or issue is about in context. So that you go up a few verses,
yes.
You go down a few verses,
yes.
And get the context. And then lastly, when we're in what they have nomenclatured the New Testament, including Paul's epistles, which that's what orthodoxy has done, and we're not here to fight that this morning, except we know what the grace covenant is, but that's all in the Greek language. So we deal with the grammar.
Grandma.
I can't begin to stand here and explain something to you until we get the actual utterance of what is said.
Amen.
Wrong utterance.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong explication.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, we will stop from time to time and go back and convey this. What we have read there is that what is truly, truly, authentically an actualization according to the wisdom of God, which is His Word, is complete.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the opposite of that which is incomplete, which is that which is in the matrix.
All right.
Not of the wisdom of the world. Other leaders of the world.
That's true.
Everything that's going on in there is for testimony of purpose, and none of it is real.
Mm-hmm.
Except as you are able to correctly associate it with what God has said.
Yeah,
this morning in Sunday school, the other little one did a great job teaching and basically. In the 11th chapter of Romans, there was a conversation about whether God had cast away the Jews.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
And here he was trying to convince Gentiles that Jews were saved. Mm-hmm. Now when you go into that, first of all, if you don't know where you're reading from, you're reading from what? You're reading from the Grace Covenant. And so the focus is on salvation in the present age. Salvation in the present age is what? It's about the body of Christ.
Yes. Yes. Thank God.
And in the body of Christ, there is no what?
There's
no Jew, not Gentile.
All one. Thank God.
And so, right away, that brings into focus that what you see there as a discussion is not the essence of what it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
How can God cast away that which he foreknew?
Foreordained. Yes.
In other words, He has purposed it in eternity, and now you're going to reach into the mirror room, just using an analogy, by going into time, into the matrix, and changing something that God actualized in eternity by decree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where's the wisdom of that? Yes, right. Finish it out, Elder. We're going to get to Titus this morning. What is it about the wisdom of this age and the leaders of this age? How does he describe that?
Neither of the leaders of this age,
mm-hmm,
of the ones being brought to naught.
Of the being brought to naught. And basically, oh my God. Everything there is about nothing. Read it again. Of the what? Being what? Brought to nothing.
Mm-hmm. Of this?
That's good. Did it say that?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
You
can fool me. I see all of this and so forth and so on. No. Let's not go by what we see.
Right.
What does God say?
Mm-hmm.
It is all brought to nothing.
That's right. Yeah,
that's
right.
In fact, it's nothing. He's speaking in manifestation, said, being brought to nothing. Here it is said, it's nothing. Virtuality is not reality. I'm going to take my time. If we don't get there, we don't get there. You've got to understand this. Because here we're going against the grain.
Yes.
We're going against centuries of doctrinations and things that are dependent upon, yet they're not real. Going against orthodoxy,
that's right,
Christendom,
mm-hmm,
that has taught us that we taste, touch, and resonate with that which is real.
Numbers.
And the things that we see qualifies what is. And I'm praying that God's people will come to see this.
Hallelujah.
Because as things begin to disappear,
that's right.
Again, we're into that section, does physical, secular measures, that is the matrix, do they abide in any semblance to reality? Those that we receive this are those that God has preordained to understand. And therefore, we are not here with any campaign to try to make somebody understand. Because, you know, if you sit there and you understand, you know, say, well, no, because the pastor broke that down. No. If you see this, it's because God has opened up your understanding. And this is important because when you look in the mirror and things are falling apart, you won't see that your life is falling apart.
Right.
No! Your life is great! Right. And Christ can't fall apart.
That's right. Amen.
Thank God.
Oh, my God.
Glory to God.
We went through some terminology last week. I'm going to go through that, and then we'll be ready to take these aggressions into Titus. The term syncretism. Everybody says syncretism. Again, that's the attempted reconciliation or union of different opposing principles, practices. This is when you take two or more things and you try to bring them into some union. Scientism does that in formulas, seeking what we call singularity. And of course, we dealt with that last week. We won't go there. Again, there's only one singleness. And of course, the scientists are not going to go there because you got to say God. They're not going to say God. They will stretch out equations after equations. And now with the computers, they can do a continuum of equations, but they'll never be able to solve them. Because the answer is God. Singularity is in God. Singleness is in God. Singleness is about God's purpose. God's purpose is traced back to his decree. And so everything that you're dealing with out there is worthless. It's worthless. Here, essence of that is what you look at, what you think it is, and what you count on, because it's before you. It's not reliable.
Amen.
Neither is it survivable.
Amen.
I say this and we move on. Everybody repeat what I mean. What you see in the matrix,
what you see in the matrix,
is not reliable.
It's not reliable.
Because it's not survivable.
Because it's not survivable.
All right, let's go to Titus. Chapter 3, verse 9. Now we're going here because the object of our ministry is to convey the word of God. And we will not be harassed, harassed by any desire to be conventional.
All right. Not
to be in alignment with the majority.
All right. Amen.
Some years ago, someone said to me, "Pastor, how many people are teaching what I was teaching at the time?" And I said, wait. Wrong question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it true?
Amen.
Can you align it with what God is saying?
Amen.
Can you consistently align it with what God is saying?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's opposing what we see. Because if what you see is in opposition to what God has said, you've got to go with what God has said. And never rely upon what you see unless it does align with what God has said. Titus chapter 3, verse 9. Here, we are establishing this as a principle of our ministry so that we don't waste time in what God has given us, that we don't waste energy in what God God has given us. Everybody got that? Say amen. Elder, read that.
But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law.
Mm-hmm.
For they are unprofitable and vain.
All right, let's go to the Greek.
Foolish, but questionings and genealogies and strife and lights, legal, shun thou.
Mm-hmm.
For they are unprofitable and vain.
Notice the last part of this verse. And let's do sort of like they do on Jeopardy. They give the answer and you supply the question. The last part of that reads, Estinga Anopheles. Anopheles. Estinga Anopheles. For they are unwhat? Unprofitable. They're worthless. Now the question. Basically, we supply. If they are worthless, why are we arguing and fussing and contending with what is worthless? Why are we focusing? That's the question to the answer. As a ministry, here, notice the verb there, periistasso, which is rendered stay away from, avoid. Stay clear. Of contending, God has given us. And this is why we put everything in writing in from the beginning. We've said to those that wish to reply, we've got ours in writing. Put it in writing. That cuts down 98% of it. The replies.
Amen. Amen. Sure does.
I don't think this is not about opinions.
Amen.
I hear you.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And here, this is why we have to align these things based upon their utility. Not their acrion, in utility. So we want to talk about worth, not about worthlessness.
Amen. Yes.
There are those that are going to argue with us about whether mankind or humankind is depraved. In fact, as one brother said, I'll go along with depravity, but not total depravity. How about what you go along with? What has God said? There's none righteous. No, not one. All have sinned, what? Are short of the glory of God. And this is what Paul said. Don't argue about stuff like that. You... The word of God said, move on. Move on. Now let's go to the bottom of page 11. Does physical secular measures, that is the matrix, abide in any semblance to reality? based upon what we have conveyed this morning, what's the answer to that? No. No. Only thing you're getting in the matrix is virtuality. Mm-hmm. You know, again, like the theater, sitting there with those 3D goggles on, and gives the impression that you're riding down the rapids and river and you get to drop off there. My family didn't see me, but I snatched my goggles off. I wasn't going to take my stomach through that. It wasn't real. Well, I was just looking, and everybody else, not everybody else, but many others in the theater were hollering, "Woo! Woo!" That's what happened. We're looking in the matrix, and we said, "Woo! Woo!" Take the goggles off.
Thank God.
Glory. Align that thing with the Word of God.
Right.
All right, we got quite a bit of little reading to do here this morning. Oh my gosh, one of these days y'all let me preach a couple hours and I don't have to be rushing. Somebody's shaking their head now. All right, I get the message. I'm at where it says various illustrations, and those who are watching, you go to the audio section there, and there is a link there. You click the icon, and this entire document comes up. And this is around page 11. Mm-hmm. And this, again, does physical secular measures, the matrix, abide in any semblance to reality? And we're starting here where it says various illustrations. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
Going back over this, and I have a problem going back over it. Does physical secular measures, the matrix, abide in any semblance to reality? Various illustrations and perceptions in physical secular measures exhibit what may seem interruptedly existential. Conversely, scripture fidelity, everybody says scripture fidelity.
Scripture fidelity.
It codifies or regulates what solely are reflected of its validation. Yes, we went through this last week. We're going through it again. And hey, if it need be, we're going through it again next time I come before you. In actuality, nothing solely displayed in the cosmic or world venue can genuinely establish authenticity. It's not real. In this illumination, even though physicality exerts what resonates visually, the non-reliability of such inevitably incidents as though life isn't real, because it's virtuality. One might even pinch oneself to converse the truth or verity of one's own pain, and yet such is still not convincingly causality in purpose within itself. The source program is attributable to eternality's sphere. It's not only the leading but sole input of realism. Just because things seem and are feel authentically in resonation, does this in any way codify their pragmatisms? What is grasped solely in this specificity is unlikely to afford some answers. Humanly perceived measuring in this orb does not exhibit conversions leading determinately to what reliably resides. Amazingly, tentative journeys to the terrain of temporality are recorded in scope theaters of vicious circles. They're all in no-win situations. Physical secular measures, that is the matrix, resonation ordinances, are never sure. Spirit that they are reliably discerning in time's tunnels. Or in time's tunnel. It is strictly in this sense their induced periodicals can most effectively be described as unwelcome commodities in mass marketed illustration making. And what's coming out of it? Erratic instances of often perceived reviews. Now they resemble exhilaratingly and breathtakingly what merely describes the appeal that laws and unique combinations of ineffective material actions that alongside their actualized what? Entrance. You know, when Paul said all things are, as the King just said, lawful, all things are not expedient. No. Basically, what he said is all things available as far as my eyes, but all things unallowable. What are you saying, Paul? Just because that thing is viewed a certain way and looks like it's going a certain way doesn't necessarily mean that's what it is. Because it's more about what is allowed than how it looks. Because how it looks doesn't determine anything, but what is allowed determines everything. And what is allowed? What is allowed is what's in God's decree.
Amen.
So yes, it's moving in process. But process doesn't determine anything. Purpose does. It looks like that thing is going to go a certain way. It looks like there's no way out. I'm looking at the process. Information I don't have is God's purpose. But because He has given us light and understanding, I'm not moved by what I see, I'm moved by what God has said. So I don't know what God has said, but I'm going to certainly be looking to find out what God has said before I make an assessment of what it is.
Yes. Oh,
because it is what God has said.
Thank
God. Now, this may seem strange because we have been programmed in our minds and our spirits that what you see is what you get. Thank God what I see is not what I get, because sometimes I see some things and it would cause my heart to faint if that's all I'm dependent upon is what I see. Go back to the document. The castings, are you with me? The castings, are you there in the middle of that paragraph, second paragraph, page 12. The castings reveal unreliable sequences as such become luminary. Some manure in amazing special effects, you know, like they do in the movies. But they're never sufficiently articulate in explaining or explicating their disorderly perceived actions. And that such requires more than humanly discerned incidents. What's there requires more than what is visualized. Because virtuality requires more than what is visualized. Virtuality requires actuality. And there's no actuality in the matrix. The actuality is in God's word. The praise sectors misconstrue as clever what are merely related crafts of the design exploits ceremonial manifestations. Invariably, the verbs in this haze borrow from secular sensory sources as diversely grouped. And all of these are in the matrix: religious, scientific, and philosophical expositions, and there's not too much difference between them. Oh, in religion, they will say God.
Oh, yes.
But that's not what they're dependent upon.
Mm-hmm.
They're at least saying that you've got to partner with God. And this is why everything started with salvation. You have to get that straight. There's no partnership in your salvation. God saved you in eternity. Before you were even around to partner.
I hear you.
And you got to take that down into life.
I hear you.
Now these chronicle solid transferences of contemplation invariably define the scrutiny of consistency. That thing is not consistent. It absolutely isn't real. Thus, both their plots and plats falter in descriptions, certifications, as the indulgences therein arise, raise more questions or queries than such could ever purport to explicate. Added to this is the general perception that things don't exist until unless they are seen. That doesn't solve the problem. That is the problem. Yet the measuring of things in and of themselves simply hacker into alter ego. Diminutively. This is in small sectors. This reaches out to the mysterious. And yes, again, will at least reply. We are not proponents the off what? The off suffer. The mysterious and the mystics is when you dabbling into some perceived higher order of physicality that you're calling spirituality. In your spirituality, you are out of this orb. There is no physicality in spirituality. If it's spiritual, it's not physical, and if it's physical, it's not spiritual. This reaches out to the mysterious, as their fluid relations with the laws of physics can ensure what's going on in life. Consequently, the soul conviction exudes notorious rebels with varied nomenclatures of the figures morphed from or changed from what influentially precedes them. What eventually follows of sort is very peculiar and convenes the elusive, astute, loaded with overt references to delving through the obscure looking glass. And this is what Pastor Paul was talking about. He said we see through a glass what?
Obscurely.
That's now. But when we come face to face, that is, we align with the Word of God. And in glorified form, this is why everything will be crystal clear.
Absolutely.
Because there will be no more virtuality. Everything is actuality.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Pastor. Follow this. As things are viewed in morph auspices, such solitary process is revocable truth. In reality, isn't ever what it seems to be in soul manifestations. No. All you're getting in the matrix are what?
Manifestations.
Representations. Not the real deal. That thing that's running you crazy and driving you crazy. That thing that's got you depressed. But in itself, it's not real. And you will not be depressed if you had confidence in God's purpose. Because that's what it's about. Purpose, not process. In fact, reading again, it is not real in any sense. What construes or codifies or regulates existence? Physical secular measures correspond to computer generated illusions. That's what it's about. They're rebelling against what really administers their thoughts or cogitations long after such manifestly arise. That thought is boom in your head, and that's what you think it is. And that's what the politicians use in campaigns. They call them sound bites. You may not get it the first time, but if they bombard you with, you see, our brains pick up signals. And there are thousands of signals going to your brains per second. But you're filtering out all but a few of them. So they can just compete with the signals going to your brain, and that thing, amen, is repetitive. Sooner or later, somebody said, if we repeat something long enough, it becomes true. No, you, no, it's not. And they've done experiments to show that the brain does operate that way. This is why we walk by what? Not by what? I'm finished this up. Even when matrix misrepresentations, everybody said matrix misrepresentations.
Matrix misrepresentations.
Are considered not only magnificent but assertively poised. Their plots factor from shallowly employments in both imports of perceptions and memories. Oh, my time is gone. Maybe we'll touch on this next week. Humanly expressed consciousness. Everybody say humanly expressed consciousness. Is not ever confidently reconciled. I think I'll repeat that. Humanly expressed consciousness is not ever confidently reconciled. It's not. See, I think I got that thing down, and that's the way it is. And tomorrow, it's easy for some things to come and put doubt on everything that you've
done. I hear you.
Huh?
I hear you.
Huh? I thought this was true yesterday. And of course, I remember some years ago, I was young, but I still remember it. When not the Romney that's running now, his father. He was for the war, Vietnam War, and he came back and he said, I'm not against it. I'm against it now. And he said, well, what happened? He said, I was brainwashed. Of course, that killed his West name because, you know, but he told the truth. Do you know we are very susceptible to being brainwashed?
Yeah. Amen.
That is when we focus in the matrix. Don't get your information out of the matrix. Many of us are sad this morning because we're trying to extract joy out of the matrix when there's nothing in the matrix. We're trying to extract peace out of the matrix when there's nothing in the matrix. No! He is our joy. He is our peace. He is our
Glory to God.
Somebody said, that's life. No, it's not.
Amen.
Christ is your life.
Christ is our life.
Everybody say, Christ is my life.
Christ is my life.
Huh? And if we understand this, we see that there's nothing there. We take all of the confidence. Out of that. That which is in the matrix. No. Your life is about Christ. Your joy is about Christ. Your peace is about Christ. Your love is about Christ. Your survivability is about Christ. Your success is about Christ. Everything is about Christ. And you may have some testimonies in the matrix, but He abides in the essence of eternality. And so we're not trusting the world. I remember a song the saints used to sing. I don't hear that song that much anymore. There's more joy somewhere.
All right.
There's more joy somewhere. I'm going to keep on till I find it. There's more joy somewhere. There's more peace somewhere. There's more peace somewhere. I'm going to keep on till I find it. But I said, my friend, you'll never find it in the matrix. It's about Christ. It's about Christ. Another song. I'll take Jesus for mine. I'll take Jesus for mine. You may have this whole wide world. But I'll take Jesus for mine. We're taking up next week. God bless you.